We wake up this morning to the news that Tim Walz is dropping out of the Minnesota governor's race. Who is he blaming for this? Well, you can guess who it's not. We wake up this morning wondering what will happen in Venezuela this week now that the U.S. government is running two nations. And we wake up this morning laughing at ourselves for thinking the first Monday morning of the new year might just be another Monday morning. Good morning, my friend. Steve Ahlstrom here with you for the Steve Ahlstrom Show. A big welcome to you joining me at a new time. If you're used to hearing the Steve Ahlstrom Show in the afternoons, or if you're used to hearing Scott Hannon's What's On Your Mind program here in the mornings at this time, a big welcome to you if you're listening to us in Western North Dakota on the mobile app, the KTGO or WZFG mobile app, KTGO radio, your smart speaker, your computer, however it is that you have come to connect with us. We are glad that you did. Great to be with you here on this morning. And yeah, it feels like the first honest Monday of or the first honest work day of the new year, although it's not. A lot of us were working last week, but kind of feels like the world is getting back to the grind, maybe. And sure enough, we have two absolute haymaker stories breaking over the weekend, and we're here to break it all down and then some for you here today. I'm joined by Addison Leger, my producer, who does all the real work behind the glass so I can have fun hanging out with you. Addison, congratulations. Your alarm clocks, the 7 or 8 that you set. Addison, if you didn't know, is a night owl. Typically goes to bed at about 3 in the morning, gets up at about noon. Well, we've rocked your world, buddy, haven't we?
I was up before 8 today. Mom would be so proud.
Oh, look at you. Adulting today.
I really am.
Yes. Well, good job being here. And I used to work that shift when I was doing sports at WDAY-TV back in the day. And I remember my first, quote-unquote, real job after playing sports on TV. I was like, wait a minute, 6:30? That's how I got to wake up?
What's so weird seeing the building in like a different light now because the 100%. Sun's in a different position in the sky, even though it's a little cloudy outside. It's so different here.
I have forced myself to do a few different things. I'm typically in right around 8:30, but I had to jump in a little earlier. Even opening the show today to say good morning, friend. Thanks for being with us felt very weird, too. So I'm sure we will say afternoon many times here for the next few days, but we'll get the hang of it sooner or later. Well, a new year, new week, new time slot. Glad to be here. If you've not heard my show before, the way I try to do the show is give you a lot of information, a lot of perspective. Phone lines are always open, and we try to get phone calls in as quick as we can on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line, 701-271-1100. Invite you to call anytime. We'll do our very best to sneak you in as quickly as possible. But there's a lot of stuff to pass along as we kind of get the workday started here. And I'm really looking forward to doing a show when the coffee's still hot. I guess you could say it that way. By the time you get to the afternoon, the coffee's cold. But this is kind of the time of day when things start percolating, I guess you might say. And you know, the business community is back going and new announcements happening with businesses. And I try to be a voice for business. I am one of the owners at our company here, Fieldstone Group Flag Family Media. So it very much matters to me how business is going in our part of the world, whether that's Eastern North Dakota, Western North Dakota, anywhere in between across the country. It's important that our small businesses are well supported and that they are strong because that is the heartbeat of America. Yes, we hear a lot about Wall Street and stock market and big business and Elon Musk and Amazon and all that. But really, the people that make this world go around are the people that run those businesses, 10, 15, 20, 50, 100 employees or less. If you take a look at who does the real living, working, buying, shopping, and all of that, it's people that are employed by or running small businesses. And so a big welcome to you if you find yourself in any category of the economy. I like to talk about the markets. I like to talk about interest rates because those things matter to everybody. I try to stay away from the stories about I locked my kitty in the closet. There are places you can go to get that, and I get it. Every show has got its own place and its own purpose. Every show has an audience. I understand that. But we've got two precious hours here, and it really is important to me and Addison that we continue to give you the information you need to figure it out. And as I like to say, we do life together here on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. We sort out things that a lot of times are breaking as we're learning about them. What does it mean? What's the next level? Okay, now that we got what we maybe wanted, is it what we really wanted after all? Or now that we got handed a big old punch in the mouth, what can we make out of this that is a positive? I certainly don't have all the answers, but together we will sort out the news of the day. And I'll try to do my best to help you break down the things that we hear about. And the one commitment that I will make to you is that we will apply the principles of the conservative playbook to the news cycle, and we'll try to figure it all out. And there are times that we might say, okay, this isn't exactly a conservative principle, but you know what? In this case, I think it makes common sense. So common sense, conservative principles, it all works together here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Well, as I mentioned off the top, a couple of monster stories that are developing here this morning. We found out just about 45 minutes ago that Tim Walz is confirming what had been reported overnight with unnamed sources, that Tim Walz was going to drop out of the Minnesota governor's race. That is a massive story. I will say this, beware what you wish for. Tim Walz was the most beatable Democrat in Minnesota, and now you're likely going to get Amy Klobuchar, who will be almost impossible to beat. So we'll dive into that here today. What will happen in Venezuela? Oh my gosh, did the weekend news cycle have a lot to work on? Usually they're trying to come up with storylines from a couple weeks ago and talk to somebody about Congress about that. Well, they were being handed news on a silver platter over the weekend, and we'll get into that a little bit here as well. I find it humorous that so many people in the Biden administration who were openly pounding the table that, hey, we got $25 million if we can get a hold of Nick Maduro. Let's get him out of there. Bring him to the U.S. and press charges. We're offering a big reward. Was it $500 million or something like that that they were offering? At one point, they backed it off at one time then to, I think, 25 was the final number there. But the U.S. saved a lot of money. They don't have to pay the reward to anybody. And now, of course, the Democrats are like, wow. This wasn't what anybody really wanted. Yes, he's not good, but Trump can't do anything right. And then we take a look at the last 9-10 months and we say, boy, it's been home run after home run for the Trump administration. So we've got a lot to get into today. Got a couple of guests to help us break it down today. Liz Collin will be with us from Alpha News, one of the best, I think maybe the best, the best source for objective news and information in Minnesota. Is Liz Collin in Alpha News. We're going to ask Liz her reaction to what we've heard now here this morning and over the weekend as well. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, political science professor at North Dakota State University, will join us. We're going to talk about Venezuela. What happens next? What do we need to be careful about? What are maybe some of the celebrations that we haven't seen where we can spike the football? Didn't even think about it. So he's going to join us. I found Dr. Ambrosio. I know when people hear, oh, he's a political science professor at a university, a public university. I know it gives many of us the heebie-jeebies, and I get that. Although I found Dr. Ambrosio to be a very good, objective source of information. He's not going to tell you what you want to hear always if you were a Trump supporter, but he's going to tell you things that I think are fair to consider, and then you decide what you make of it. That's what we try to do here on this show, try to give you the information, let you figure out exactly what you want to make of it. So we'll do that here with Dr. Ambrosio coming up in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about what this means out in the Bakken as well today. Oil prices might be a little lower than the Bakken folks would like, but production still remains strong. So we got that story and many others coming up on the show today as well. I like to begin each day's program by giving you a little bit of a commodity report on the world. I guess I'll call that a little weather almanac, sunrise, sunset, stock markets, business news, fuel prices to get us going here on each morning here. And I did this in the afternoon. It sure seems to work in the morning as well. So let's get started here with the almanac, with the daily wrap. I'll call it the morning wire. We'll start with the almanac for today, January 5th, 2026. Average high in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, 18. Average low is 1. Record high, 55 in 2012. Record low, minus 37 back in 1883. And if you're listening to us in Western North Dakota, probably not all that different out where you are at as well. Daylight about the same for most of us. If you're on mountain time, I get that. But 8:12 is the sunrise in Fargo this morning. 4:53, the sunset time. Here in Fargo, we will gain today, no matter where you are in the state of North Dakota, we will gain a minute and 14 seconds in the markets today. The big one everybody's taking a look at, oil. You thought maybe it might be going down with a potential supply of Venezuelan oil. Market saying no, not necessarily. 57.67, up 30 cents a gallon today. It is 9:16 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, the morning edition. Back with next segment after this. Steve Hallstrom Show on this Monday, January 5th, 2026. Start of something new for a lot of us, no doubt about that, but glad to be with you here in the morning. I've been doing a show from 4 to 6 p.m. on weekdays on the Flag East, we call it, WZFG in the Red River Valley. Glad to be welcoming many of you in the western part of the state now as well. A statewide show that will still have a lot of flavor for Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo, but we'll also be touching on stories important to folks in the western part of the state as well, and of course, around the country, too. And boy, have we got stories today. I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio. Drivewithvision.com is the website. That's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. Bought my last car down there, and man, do they make it easy. 15 minutes or less is what they say, and with me, it got down to about 13. Signing everything electronically. Took a little longer for them to show me around my new vehicle because it had a few different features and options than I've had before, but man, are they great down there. Vision Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton Drive with vision.com. 9:21 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. And during the second segment of the program, I'm going to try to give you what I call the story of the day, where I take a look at the big story that's happening, along with a few other headlines that are making news, and kind of give you sort of my take on the big story of the day. And I'm going to say this. My big story of the day is this is why we stay positive. Why we stay positive. I remember quite often over the Biden administration in those 4 years that we were subjected to daily punishment and idiocy of watching as the Biden administration continued to roll out the priorities that were important to them. A small minority of people in the country. It was the LGBT issues. It was climate change. It was all these social issues and things that seem very, very different than if you are having your everyday life happen in Western North Dakota, Western Minnesota, if you're in Hillsboro, North Dakota. Climate change, LGBT issues. Okay, I guess maybe, you know, it's worth considering some of those things. Is there anything true there to worry about? But for the most part, it was things that didn't really matter. And we saw inflation go through the roof. Costs of everything went crazy. We saw elections that were compromised. And that's not a controversial statement. When you put in the kinds of policies that they put in, there's no way you can argue that we've got the most accurate elections possible. You just can't. The further you get away from someone going to the voting booth and clicking the box for your candidate or filling out the card and filling in the squares, the further you get away from that, the more opportunity for fraud you have. And what do you suppose happened? When you have trillions of dollars going into state economies from the federal government for climate change issues or whatever else they told you they were giving the money to, you have a potential for huge amounts of fraud if the state government is not doing its work. And of course, that's exactly what happened. And it got pretty hopeless for a while. I wouldn't say hopeless, but it got dark. It got dark. And I kept saying through the whole time, hang in there. Hang in there. This country is 250 years old. It's a strong country. The patriots aren't going away. Faith, family, freedom still reigns in a lot of the country. But those people don't have microphones and TV shows. So you might not see that as much. The people that are really good at manipulating the news cycle, living on social media, they are people that are masters at that game of attention and playing bigger than they really are. And meanwhile, we were left in everyday America to feel like, is there anybody left like us? And I think we all came together on conservative talk radio and other places and gathered together and said, you know what? We're going to hang in there. And during that whole time, I said, we've got to stay positive here. We have to stay optimistic because the battle isn't over. We haven't lost the country. Yes, the math was nasty. No doubt about it. Millions of people coming into the country. It was a body blow for sure. It was a big punch in the face. But I kept saying, we've got to be the happy warriors. We got to stay positive. We can get on our knees every morning and ask the good Lord to do some miracles. And here we sit today. Donald Trump is in office. We have basically shut down the border to all the human trafficking, which they never want to talk about. These people that tell you that, oh, we care so much about the women and the children. Well, you didn't when you let that happen at the border. All the drugs coming across, all the fraud, all the scandal, all the money, that which is a scandal itself. Money being given to climate change is a scandal. I'm sorry, it just is. It is an unprovable theory that was backed by trillions of dollars that were just wasted. And so we saw our costs for everything go up, our property taxes, our insurance, the cost of everything. That slowed down a little bit, the cost increases, but it was tough. It was tough for quite some time. But what do you suppose came along? Donald Trump came along and said, I'm willing to get back into this thing. Okay, great. Well, now Donald Trump is in office. In Minnesota, it kind of felt the same way. Like, oh, Minnesota, man, it's just never going to change. But two young men got involved. Nick Shirley did a video. I don't know why his stuff caught fire the way it did, but he asked the question, showed the video, put it out in a place where people could see it, and it absolutely took off. And all of a sudden, people started asking a lot of questions about Tim Walz. And unfortunately for the Twin Cities media, they also had to try to make it look like they cared. So the Star Tribune goes out after Nick Shirley goes to 10 daycare sites, and Star Tribune's there going, okay, we're gonna show the people that this Nick Shirley, he's just lying about all this stuff. And they go out there and they put the story out. The best they could come up with is, well, we went to all these places and we found kids at four of them. Oh, really? You found kids at 4 of 10 daycare places? Wow, good for you. And then Scott Pressler gets involved. If you don't know who Scott is, he was one of the warriors that helped Donald Trump get elected in the 2024 election. And just a young influencer, but he's got a tremendous amount of followers, especially among young people. And he's a little bit like Joe Rogan for a younger generation. Well, he has now gotten involved and started digging up things about voter fraud in Minnesota. And where there wasn't even fraud, he just said, I can't prove fraud, but I can sure prove to you what the Minnesota election laws look like, where somebody can vouch for 8 people and that you can get a mail-in ballot and you don't have to be registered. And he started pointing out all of these things, and it just started looking worse and worse and worse for Tim Walz. And sure enough, here we are this morning. We wake up and Tim Walz says, I'm out. Now, a couple of tentacles to this story. Number one, it's kind of like the dog that caught the car. Minnesota Republicans have been hoping to beat Tim Walz, and so they've been ripping on him left and right and saying he needs to resign, he needs to drop out of the race. Well, guess what? You got that. The problem is it looks like Amy Klobuchar is going to get involved, and she is basically unbeatable in Minnesota. Now, the good news is it opens a spot in the Senate, so we're going to have 2 senators potentially. We know that Tina Smith is not running again, and now it looks like Amy Klobuchar won't. That should create a great opportunity on the national scene, but it's going to be really tough for Kendall Qualls and Kristen Robbins and Mike Lindell and all of those people. So that's a tough one to get your mind around. And then you also have to look at what does this mean for the next few months and what in the world is going to happen before Tim Walz jumps out as well. We're going to talk about this with Liz Collin, and she is the chief reporter at Alpha News. She's really good on all of this stuff and can give us her perspective on what she is seeing here this morning. What might happen? What are the things that you go, oh boy? And what are the things you say, hey, there's an opportunity. Tim Walz, 11 a.m. press conference. You'll hear it right here. Expected to announce that he is resigning and dropping out. We'll tell you more about his rationale for dropping out, too. You'll love this. That's next. Delta Design and Construction is your first call if you're thinking about building up. Yeah, that's right. You might think about remodeling your home, maybe adding on, doing an extra family room, a four-season porch, something like that. Well, the gang at Delta Design and Construction says, hey, have you ever thought about building up? A lot of advantages there. All that landscaping you did around the house, that doesn't have to go anywhere. Potentially lower costs, increased property value as well. And they're starting to put a lot of jobs on their list for 2026 now that we're in the new year. So you want to get on their list ASAP. DeltaDesign.biz is a website. DeltaDesign.biz, beauty and quality by design. So you got that to think about. going into the new year. 9:32, well, there's a lot to think about for Minnesota Republicans going into the new year. And to help us break down the big news of the day, our friend Liz Collin, reporter, producer for Alpha News. And we are thankful that she always gives us a few minutes whenever she can on days where there are some things happening. Liz, first, I would say it feels like the first honest business day of the new year. And holy smokes, we got Venezuela news and then Tim Walz. Wow, what a start to the year.
Never a dull moment, Steve. Yeah, I'm not even sure where to start. But yeah, we have this announcement officially, I think, coming soon in about 90 minutes as far as a press conference is concerned. But Governor Walz has already been forthcoming with a statement posted to social media. But yeah, not seeking re-election in Minnesota as the governor. So I'll let the dominoes fall, I guess, Steve.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and first of all, let me say it's been so much fun to see you and Alpha News getting the attention and the credit you deserve, because you all have been on this story about the corruption and the fraud and the horrible mismanagement, if nothing else, going on across the state of Minnesota. You all were probably the first ones on that scene, if not one of the first, and have been doing an amazing job trying to bring all this to light. But all of a sudden, Nick Shirley comes along and something about his report catches the eye of a few more people and adds to the great work that you're doing. And all of a sudden, here we are. I see the governor's put out a statement today, of course, looking in the mirror and pointing the first finger at himself. Yeah, right. Talking, the first thing he did basically is rip Donald Trump for creating the environment in Minnesota that he has. But why do you think Tim Walz is really stepping down, Liz? What do you think is really behind this?
Yeah, I think there's some, he's wanting to avoid having to answer questions in Washington. Where does that lead? You know, he was basically told he better show up to answer questions on fraud. You know, we were actually even surprised in September that he announced he was running for re-election, just because we were well aware of the baggage. We're one of very few news outlets that even have acknowledged anything negative about this guy, with story after story. You know, I think that the national spotlight was pretty glaring that Nick Shirley brought to Minnesota, launching, I think, 5 or 6 federal investigations in a very short amount of time. You know, whether it was the education secretary, the treasury secretary, we were hearing from all of them kind of coming in all at the same time with this coordinated effort. It does seem that something was coordinated, you know, nationally, I guess, to sort of move into Minnesota. So we were also hearing behind the scenes that Walz was struggling to raise money in Minnesota. We saw him out on the campaign trail quite a bit outstate while he was running, you know, to be governor for a third time around in Minnesota. And we were also hearing these rumblings about perhaps swapping out with Klobuchar, because she can go ahead and run for governor and appoint someone to her Senate seat in the meantime, which may just well be a backroom deal worked out with Walz. So, but, you know, I think that the thing going forward, Republicans are going to have to really stay focused on. This isn't just a one guy's responsible for all of this. Obviously, Walz is a pretty easy target, but we also saw that, I think was pretty telling, that nobody seemed to be coming to his aid.
Yes.
We didn't even hear from people like Congresswoman Ilhan Omar or anyone. Nobody was really propping him up, saying he's doing a great job. And silence kind of speaks volumes in the world of politics, right? So it was time for him to take the fall, I think, from the Democrats. So we kind of have a Joe Biden situation here in Minnesota that we're seeing locally, this you know, swap out that seems to be happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're 100% right in what you say, that Tim Walz just didn't have any friends anymore. Even some of the people that have been staunch defenders of him just were quiet, if nothing else. And then you had other people.
Yep.
And I one of the people I started following in media a long time ago when he was doing sports was Chad Hartman, and he now is on WCCO radio in the Twin Cities, and he is definitely left of center, but every once in a while will, I think, call balls and strikes fairly accurately. And on this one, he came out with some pretty strong statements that, you know, this is horrible mismanagement. At minimum, we've got utter incompetence there. And when you start to see things like that, and like you said, Ilhan Omar and Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith and all those people that are eerily quiet all of a sudden, I think you know that there's something going on. And I should mention, too, I said stepping down earlier. Tim Walz is not resigning. He's just saying he's not running again. So let me be clear on that. How long does Amy Klobuchar's term have left, Liz? If she appoints someone, how long does that go?
Well, since she's not up for reelection, I mean, I guess that would be a couple of years left then, right? And I guess that's the way it works. She can appoint someone for her Senate seat herself. So my thought is that's, you know, what's going to make sense here. Not that it's hard to actually even say that out loud. None of this makes any sense.
Yeah, right.
but it seems like that is likely what will be the case here. But again, you know, you have this fraud. Certainly, it's been making news these last couple weeks. But already, the local news has moved on. They've just spent their time trying to discredit Nick Shirley,
or his
friend David, who was along, kind of giving all the information on all of their stops. That's literally, we had a hit piece by the Star Tribune this weekend on that guy. And they've just decided there's nothing to see here. Many of these places that we've visited, actually even before Nick Shirley did, we saw for ourselves. So people all of a sudden are being bussed in, and we saw the bustling activity that did not exist before. So is that going to be enough for people to just move along? You know, this fraud situation has been a problem clearly for years. It's $9 billion and counting. I don't think that it's over by any stretch of the imagination. So will Democrats now just be able to be off the hook, and Walz is the fall guy? I guess we'll see. But we have a very crowded Republican field. I think once Klobuchar announces and makes this official, we'll see some of them fall off. She is kind of a institution in Minnesota as far as her name recognition, which is a big part of all of it. And she has been very quiet, you know, for running to the aid of Walz. You know, here lately, that's for sure.
So Amy Klobuchar, to me, Liz, I hate to say it, but it almost feels like she is unbeatable if she decides to run for governor. I just don't know that she can be beaten. It'll in time open up a Senate seat that might be possible. And I think we all feel like, based on the way things are going, maybe the Senate seat that Tina Smith is giving up is possible as well. Do you see it differently than that? I just feel like Amy Klobuchar has a lot of popularity. She wins re-election fairly easily each time around. Or do you feel like there's a Democrat fatigue going on in Minnesota enough that she might be vulnerable in a governor's election?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of right there with you, Steve. She's just been around for so long, and she doesn't really wade into a lot of, you know, controversial things. She's very quiet, almost non-existent in many, you know, in many cases. So she really is someone who I think is difficult to beat. And a lot of people on the Republican side of things just do not have that name recognition. I mean, she's, you know, decades into this at this point. You know, and you have, it sounds like Peggy Flanagan, again, the lieutenant governor under Walz, running for Tina Smith's Senate seat, and it, you know, kind of seems as if she's going to get the nomination from the Democrats, and that won't go to Angie Craig. The party clearly has moved more and more to the left, but will they embrace someone? You know, that's kind of what we've also heard, that Klobuchar is not well-liked by the progressive arm of the party because she is not clearly as radical as, you know, many would say that the party has kind of been hijacked by that radical cause. So will, you know, that work? Because we're seeing in Flanagan's case that they're really embracing her and not someone like Angie Craig, who would be more considered, I guess, a more moderate Democrat. So
yeah. In Walz's statement this morning, he came out and basically the first thing he said was that an organized group of criminals have sought to take advantage of our state's generosity. Yeah. Instead of, hey, you know what, we sure could have done a lot of things better. It's all this deflection. I guess it's not a surprise in politics, but are you surprised at anything from Walz's tone and the message he came out today? The first thing he blamed was the criminals, not, hey, I'm in charge and, you know, I'm the head coach of the team and I'm supposed to run a good shop here. It wasn't anything like that. And then the second thing was, well, Donald Trump has made you know, Minneapolis, a colder place. Are you surprised at the tone? I mean, he could have taken 100 different paths on this, and yet he chose to deflect everywhere other than his own self.
No, it's this guy. So, no, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. It's always Trump's fault. That is the go-to. I'm actually just surprised, like, white supremacy didn't appear in this statement.
Yes.
That's usually also something he goes back to quite a bit. This seems to be part of the playbook for Walls. And, you know, it is reassuring. I don't think people are buying this anymore. So, you know, that's some good news here, but we'll have to see what is to come. We reposted, we have a long thread on X about all the stories we've done about Walls over the years. And really is remarkable all the things he has survived as a politician in Minnesota, whether in Congress or as governor, where things really came into focus. But a new chapter for him and for this race. We'll continue to follow all of it, obviously, over at Alpha News. But yeah, for months we've had a fraud in Minnesota page up on our website at alphanews.org, and I don't think this fraud thing is going away, and how many people knew about it, that's Ooh, really the question. Yep. Will we see indictments? I think that's something a lot of people still want.
Yes.
It doesn't, you know, satisfy that in any means. So, and we know some of the feds, I think, are in town actually this week. We'll see if anybody asks questions at the press conference. Hey, who did you fire, you know,
yes,
Governor Walls? And the answer is no one.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
You know, is this enough for accountability?
Yeah. Good stuff. Liz, hey, thanks a ton for being with us. We'll continue to follow this. Friends, go to alphanews.org, the best news site in Minnesota. No question about it. Liz, thanks for your time. Take care.
Steve, thank you. Bye.
Steve Alstrom Show back after this, talking Venezuela next. Well, here Julie Fedorchuk woke up this morning and said, hey, I'm going to make an announcement, and I might just own the news cycle today. Well, she probably knew about the Venezuela thing, but she also ended up running into the Tim Walz thing, at least here in the Red River Valley. Maybe in most of the state it's not such a big deal. But Julie Fedorchuk has announced that she is going to be running again for her spot in the United States House of Representatives. No surprise there. I think she handled her first term, I think, very well. I think she got involved with the different things that she needed to. I think supported the president on a lot of things, called him into question on a couple things with beef imports. And so, you know, for someone getting in the first couple of years, you got to kind of get your legs under you. I thought she did that fairly well. I'd like to see a little stronger voice at times on some things, but overall, I thought it was a very good first term for her. So we will see what happens with the primary pool. I know that we've already had Alex Balazs, who has announced that he is going to get in as well in the primary. So at least there will be two horses in that race. And in Fargo today, City Commissioner Denise Kolpak, who is the deputy mayor, has announced that she wants to run for mayor in 2026. And the current Mayor Tim Mahoney is terming out, so he will be leaving the city commission. So she is in. I believe she's the first one in Fargo to announce. So you have that going on here today as well. I want to talk about Venezuela here for just a minute. So I have to laugh. Kamala Harris yesterday came out and said Donald Trump's actions in Venezuela did not make America safer, stronger, or more affordable. And then if you go back and take a look at the news cycle, January 10th of last year, so almost exactly 1 year ago today, I find this headline. The Biden administration said today it was offering $25 million for the information leading to the arrest of Nicolas Maduro, the president of Venezuela, after he assumed a third term in office despite evidence suggesting that he lost Venezuela's recent election. The announcement was a retaliatory measure by Washington, which does not recognize Mr. Maduro as the rightful president of Venezuela. Maduro has presented no evidence that he won a July election, while his opponent, Edmundo Gonzalez, has presented thousands of publicly available vote tallies that says that he easily won the most votes. The United States has said Mr. Gonzalez is the president-elect of Venezuela and has urged Mr. Maduro to step aside, while they put out a $25 million bounty, basically on his, not his head, but his arrest anyway. Well, here we are. Donald Trump does what they couldn't do. They offered a reward for his arrest, so that means they have no issue with him being arrested. But, of course, it was Donald Trump that did the arresting. So now we have a problem. What are we going to say? What are we going to do now? When I saw this, my initial reaction was, whoa, two things. Can they do that? Like, this really feels to me a lot like overthrowing a government of a foreign country and kind of seizing, I don't know if seizing control is the right word, but they're saying we're going to rebuild Venezuela's oil-producing capabilities, which I think is good news for a lot of us, but it sure feels like this is an overthrow of a government taking control of his assets. And then second of all, what does this mean for the price of crude? So, look, nobody thinks Maduro was a good cat here, and I think there's nobody that will defend, you know, his term and he should be there or whatever. But when you think of it, Venezuela has the biggest oil reserves in the world, about 300 billion barrels. Okay, if you want to compare that to something, that's more than Saudi Arabia. Did you know that? I did not. I saw that yesterday. And for years, because of all the corruption, mismanagement, and there were some sanctions by the country, by U.S. as well, that oil has largely stayed in the ground, or it's been a fraction of what it could have actually been produced. Now, what happens? It's going to take a while, right? I heard today $100 billion in maybe 5 years to start really repairing and bringing up to speed the oil production capability there. Well, what happens if you dump 300 billion barrels? Now, you're not going to do that all at once. I get it. But what are we looking at there? The oil companies will tell you at 60 bucks, at least the experts in the industry say at 60 bucks, we kind of yawn a little bit about more drilling. When you're at 65, 70, okay. Well, the average over the last few years has been the $80 to $90 range, and we right now we're under 60. So we're under 60 right now without any of this being pumped in there as well. Now, OPEC will have something to say about it, and U.S. exploration could grow as well. But I don't know that we're going to see butt gas across North Dakota anytime soon. But we could absolutely see lower price gas. And in Fargo, the place that I drive by, Fleet Farm in Fargo, tends to always have the lowest price on my route to work. And then a couple of truck stops near where I turn off, they're at about $209, $210 today. I am going to be really surprised if we don't see $1.90 something here in Fargo. Now, my friends out west, when I drive out there, it costs a little more to fill up the tank. But if you can get buck something gas in the Red River Valley, I think that's a win, certainly for people in our part of the world as well. And then I also have to think my last sort of takeaway about this is, what does this mean? China had a bunch of people in Venezuela basically a couple days before this happened. So this is kind of a backhand to Putin and to China as well. How are they going to react to this? You know, we're ripping them because they went into Ukraine, and rightfully so. But now they're going to say, oh, look at what you guys are doing here. So Trump says we're going to install a government. We're going to run it for a while to get back on its feet. That sounds like a big job to me. Like, running one country is a big enough job. If anybody can do it, I think it's Trump. But make no mistake, they have bitten off a monster bite to chew. It's going to be very fascinating to watch. All right, 9:55. Here we go with hour number two of the Steve Alsham Show, the first ever morning edition of the program. Good to have you with me today, whether you are listening in the Red River Valley on WZFG, the flag, whether you're listening on KTGO Radio out in western North Dakota, AM 1090, FM 92.7, whether you're listening on a smart speaker, mobile app, on your computer, however you're catching me, glad you're here with me on what has been an amazingly busy day. It kind of feels like the first honest business day of 2026, even though I know that a lot of us were working, myself and Addison included, last Friday. But it just feels like it's kind of back to the grind today. And wow, a couple of massive stories. I'm going to start out the second hour of the program each day with what I call the key three. And if you had been listening to me doing the Steve Alsham Show in the afternoons, I had something I called the top five at five. But that doesn't work anymore, and the top 10 of 10 would probably take too long. So I'm going to find three stories that I think transcend the news cycle, stories that pass the so what test, not stories about somebody slides off the road and goes to the hospital or there's a shooting in Fargo. We could do that story every hour, it seems like, lately. But try to find stories that matter to you, your food, your schools, your community, your taxes, all those kinds of things. So we're going to call it the Key Three here every day as we do this at 10 a.m. First, though, I do want to make sure we sneak in phone calls and text messages, emails, the best we can. And I think we got a shot to do this here before we get into the Key Three today. Ryan in Aberdeen has been holding for about a half hour, so let's get him in. Ryan, good morning. Welcome to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. How are you doing today?
Thank you. And congratulations on your morning move, Steve. I think this is going to go well for you, and look forward to listening to you in the future. Couple of things I wanted to mention, and I'll keep it as brief as I can. First of all, I don't think Governor Waltz is going to go away, even if he is out of the public eye. I'm from South Dakota, and I remember what happened to Tom Daschle after he was pushed out of office by John Thune back in 2006. And he went to work for a healthcare think tank that helped Congress belch out that Affordable Care Act abomination.
The Not-So-Affordable Care Act, yeah.
So I just want to caution Minnesota voters, just because he's out of the public eye does not mean he's been thrown to the wolves or doesn't have influence. And one other thing I wanted to mention in terms of what's going on in Venezuela, I think there is some legitimate concern for how this could affect American foreign policy going forward. But as for the legality of it all, I've got two words for you and your listeners, Steve: Manuel Noriega. Mm. It's really Noriega Redux. And if those arguments that are being made now work out the same way they did 35 years ago, Maduro's looking at a very long American prison sentence, as did Noriega.
Mm. Yeah, good stuff. Ryan, thanks for giving a call. Appreciate you weighing in today. Good comments there. A couple of thoughts on what Ryan just said. First of all, yes, if you are one of the quote-unquote taken care of people within a political party, you'll find work, you'll end up in a think tank, you'll make the rounds on the Sunday morning shows and talk about what idiot Trump is. Certainly he's not going away. But he will lose a massive amount of influence, at least in Minnesota. There's just no way you can compare to being the governor of Minnesota. And so, yes, he's going to have a voice. But I honestly think after the way things went with the Harris campaign and how he just turned into a caricature of himself, I mean, he was like this weird kind of hopped up, ultra feminine, weird guy. And I just don't know that he has a future in the National Party. He could run for city council somewhere, I'm sure, but I think he does what Heidi Heitkamp has done, and that's kind of drift into the sunset. That's probably the best place for him. But, yeah, he'll get speaking engagements, and he'll make money doing speeches and all that kind of stuff, maybe write a book. But, good riddance, Tim Walz, for gosh sakes. Addison, can I get host PC for just a minute here? I wanted to play for you something that on the Venezuela story, and this is going to lead off our the key three here for today, and it is that Venezuelan president, we use that term in quotes, Nicolas Maduro's wife, Celia, will make their first court appearance in New York at noon today on charges related to drug trafficking. And in case you feel like, boy, Donald Trump has done something that the Democrats would never have done, what's Donald Trump doing? This is Chuck Schumer back in 2020 basically criticizing Donald Trump for not doing what he did over the weekend.
He brags about all these things he wants to do or is doing, but his actions belie his words. Maybe the best metaphor was his claim to bring democracy to Venezuela. There was a big policy there. It flopped. If the policy was working, Juan Guaido wouldn't be in the balcony here. He'd be in Venezuela. He'd be sitting in the president's palace, or at least waging a fight to win. He's here. And the president brags about his Venezuela policy? Give us a break. He hasn't brought an end to the Maduro regime.
Well, he has now. So there you go, Chuck. So don't let anybody fool you that this is something that the Democrats thought would be bad policy. Everybody has wanted this to happen in one way or shape. It's, of course, the fact that Donald Trump actually did it. now that people have a problem with. All right, so that's story number one in the key three today. Maduro and his wife captured on Saturday following a large-scale strike against Venezuela, following really weeks of military buildup over there. The president said that the United States government would be sort of a, don't quote me directly here on this, but sort of a de facto government for Venezuela while they can sort of get their things back in order. All the cabinet members and the key government leaders are still there, and the vice president was sworn in as the president earlier today. But this is the question, and I think Ryan brought up a fair question. What happens now? I'm wondering what happens now. And the president ran on a platform of no new wars. And granted, this is not a war. This is a targeted strike and a change of regime. We get that. But I think a lot of people are saying, okay, you broke it, you fix it, or you broke it, now you own it. Let's see what happens now. But take a look at what Donald Trump has, quote-unquote, broken and fixed so far in his presidency. Look at all the things that have changed for the better with the border and with the economy, interest rates, all those things. There's a ton of things. That's the start of a list of about 100 things long. So that's story number one. Story number two, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announced earlier today he is dropping his bid for a third consecutive term. He will have a press conference at 11 a.m. today, and you'll hear it right here on the flag. And he will be talking about his decision to exit the governor's race. He said he came to the conclusion that, quote, I can't give a political campaign my all. I said about a week ago that for the first time I believed that Tim Walz could no longer win. And even with all of the stuff with, the video exposing the Quality Leering Center and all of that, I just still thought he'd still have enough within the cabal of Minnesota to win. But when Scott Pressler got involved and started then exposing all the craziness in the voter fraud, quote unquote, potential, I think that to me felt like, okay, this isn't going away. Fox News Channel is just going after him with both barrels. I don't think he can withstand this. But I didn't think he was going to withdraw from the race a week later. He's not resigning. Let's be clear about that. But he is getting out of the race. He's not going to seek another term. Meanwhile, 241 mayors, unbeknownst to, I think, any of them last week when they signed this letter that Walz was going to drop out this morning, sent a letter in, quote-unquote, united support representing more than a million Minnesota residents, so 241 mayors, calling on Tim Walz to drop out of the race. They say that they've united to call out fraud, failed economic policies, and the lack of accountability, and they wanted change there. They said they were, quote, advocating for policies to protect taxpayers and strengthen local communities, while they kind of went out with this united statement. Now, the mayors of Barnesville, Fergus Falls, Breckenridge, Ada, Perham, Alexandria, East Grand Forks, Manoman, Hitterdahl, Alvarado, Thief River Falls, and Osage were all people who signed this letter. And finally, story number three, Julie Fedorchuk has announced a re-election bid. She's running for re-election to Congress here in 2026. All right, when we come back here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, 10 o'clock hour continues. The best thing I heard all day coming up next. A lot of vehicles have been sliding off the road overnight and early today. We kind of got that freezing fog thing going on across a good share of North Dakota, western Minnesota. The authorities are advising you to make sure you take it a little slow, especially on roads that have not been traveled very often. Custom Truck and Auto Shine wants to remind you that if you happen to slide off the road, need a little work done to the vehicle, or if somebody bangs into you, well, they're here to help. When a collision is out of your control, their full-service body shop will get you back on the road in a jiffy. Visit CustomFargo.com, CustomFargo.com. I want to tell you something I'm excited about here. We are going to be doing a Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime, Valentine's Date of a lifetime, and you could win it. Wherever you are listening to me from today, the only thing is you got to be able to get to Fargo when we have our big giveaway party coming up here in a few weeks. Allsager Meats presents Valentine's Day in Vegas. So we, along with our friends at WDAY Radio and Allsager Meats, are giving away a trip to Vegas. It's an amazing trip. It's going to be a ton of fun. Can't wait for somebody to get this. Two round-trip tickets to Vegas, hotel stay, two tickets to see the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere on Valentine's Day, and just because we don't think that's good enough, we're going to give you $500 in cash for some spending money. When you go to Vegas, you got to have a couple of bucks, right, for whatever you might need there. So, allsagermeats.com, that's our sponsor. They are the presenting sponsor there. And they've got some new pizzas over there. The Allsager Carnivore, the Creamy Chicken Alfredo, Pepperoni Classic, and the Allsager Signature Supreme. And Veterans location in Fargo will be celebrating its two-year anniversary. Veterans Boulevard, Timber Creek Parkway off 52nd Avenue, Breckenridge, Minnesota, and Audubon, Minnesota as well. And if you've not yet, go to am1100theflag.com and register to qualify. And if you are selected, we're going to have an opportunity for you, and that will be coming up here in a little bit. People have already qualified to listen for your name to be drawn. You'll have 11 minutes to call in and qualify. Grand prize February 2nd at Kingpin. So stay tuned. We'll be doing that here in a little bit. But it's not too late. Plenty of chances left, but I would do it now. Go to am1100theflag.com. to register for that. All right, 1022, Jim in West Fargo has been hanging for a while. He wants to talk about Venezuela. Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for giving a call today.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing got me this morning was the first thing I saw on my news feed when I, you know, checked CNBC this morning, stuff like that, is the president, or whatever you want to call him, the dictator of China, condemning the U.S. for making this intervention, violating international law, and taking this guy out of there. And I'm thinking, wow, aren't these the biggest hypocrites in the world? Everybody ever hear of Tibet? And they basically went in 1950. The Chi-Coms went in there, China, took over a peaceful society that posed no threat to anybody,
yeah,
and just brutally invaded them.
Yeah.
And then all their interventions in trying to get into Vietnam and Cambodia and into Russia and everything else. They've been a very aggressive nation.
Yes.
I think they really have some nerve to judge us, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, after their history.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of a story about whose ox is being gored, I think, in this case. Because, look, if you are determined to find fault with somebody, you'll find a reason to find fault with anybody for anything. So they're going to say it about Venezuela. We're going to say it about all the hostility toward Taiwan, over the years, Tibet, all the things that you're talking about as well. I think that the difference for Trump is if he can do this quickly and not have American troops in there for very long and get things reestablished and give the Venezuela people a chance to do this on their own after a short amount of time, then I think you can say, okay, yeah, it was an act of aggression, no doubt about that. Let's be honest about that. But it was done for a short time for a purpose that will benefit the world and peace and lower drugs. So we're going to see what happens on this one. But, Jim, thanks for giving a call. I think you bring up some good points here today.
I myself, Steve, just added, I think it wasn't an act of aggression. It was an act of defense.
Well, there, yes,
that's
an aggressive act of defense. Can I use that term? I think that's what I would say. But I hear you. You're right. And you can make that argument, and you're 100% right to do it. Jim, thanks for calling. Appreciate you chiming in today. Good stuff there. That's what I love about this audience, man. Whether it's an afternoon show or morning show, got some smart people listening to the program. All right, something I want to do each day is tell you about something that I heard over the last 24 hours that I'm going to call the best thing I heard all day. And the best thing I heard all day actually happened yesterday as I was getting ready for the show today, the Steve Alsham Show Morning Edition, which is still very bizarre, but we're doing it here. CBS News says starting today they will be reporting from more of the what you might call the average American perspective rather than the elites, which we all know to be the liberals. And so they put out a little social media post by their new anchor, Tony Dokapil. I don't know how you say it. But he's making a promise to viewers that you come first, not the elites. This should be very interesting. It was the best thing I heard all day.
A lot has changed since the first person sat in this chair. But for me, the biggest difference is people do not trust us like they used to. And it's not just us. It's all of legacy media. And I get it. I get it because I've been hearing about it from just about everybody for more than 20 years as I've traveled America on this assignment or that. My mom's neighbors in West Virginia, my own neighbors in New York City, thousands and thousands of conversations in between. Sometimes people want to talk to me about our coverage of NAFTA or the Iraq War. Other times it's all about Hillary Clinton's emails or Russiagate. Or more recently, COVID lockdowns, Hunter Biden's laptop, or the president's fitness for office. The point is, on too many stories, the press has missed the story because we've taken into account the perspective of advocates and not the average American.
Yes, you have.
Or we put too much weight in the analysis of academics or elites and not enough on you. And I know this because at certain points, I have been you. I have felt this way, too. I felt like what I was seeing and hearing on the news didn't reflect what I was seeing and hearing in my own life, and that the most urgent questions simply weren't being asked. So here's my promise to you today and every time you see me in this chair. You come first, not advertisers, not politicians, not corporate interests. And yes, that does include the corporate owners of CBS. I report for you, which means I tell you what I know, when I know it, and how I know it. And when I get it wrong, I'll tell you that too. It also means I'm going to talk to everybody and hold everyone in public life to the very same standard. After all, I became a journalist to talk to people. I love talking to people about what works in this country, what doesn't, and not only what should change, but the good ideas that should never change. I think telling the truth is one of them. Oh. I'm Tony DeCoppel, the anchor of the CBS Evening News. Hold me to it.
Okay. DeCoppel. Okay. Well, thank you for that. Well, I'm going to watch tonight. Call me skeptical, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. So I'll give people a second chance. We'll see. But I like what I hear. It's a new guy, and they say a new era. So we'll see what happens. I'll report back to you tomorrow what I saw and I heard, because I don't have to do a show today from 4 to 6. Steve Alsup Show back after this. 11 a.m. today is a scheduled press conference in St. Paul where Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is expected to announce. I guess he put out a statement earlier saying that he was going to step away from the reelection campaign. So I guess expected to announce is not maybe the right term anymore, but he'll talk more about his decision to not run for another term as the leader of Minnesota's state government. It is also surmised by many that Amy Klobuchar will end up taking Walz's spot, basically, and resigning from the Senate, the U.S. Senate, and running for governor in Minnesota. And if that happens, that race is over. Klobuchar will not be able to be beaten by any of the candidates that are lined up to run against her. She enjoys too much support among the liberals and the moderates among Minnesota. Now, this is, of course, my opinion. Stranger things have happened, but I just don't see that she can be beaten. And Klobuchar then, according to Liz Collin, our friend from Alpha News, she told us earlier today that Klobuchar would be able to appoint, or Walz would be able to appoint, a successor to Klobuchar to be a Democrat to finish out the term. Whether that would be Peggy Flanagan, but I don't think it'd be her because she wants to run for governor too. But maybe if Klobuchar gets in, Flanagan would say, you know, that's not going to happen, so I'll take it. It looks like we're going to have a Democrat back in there, at least until Klobuchar's term is up. And if I remember right, I think that she was on the ballot and won re-election last November. So she's got a while left to go here. So 2 years after this year, I guess. So still basically 3 years. So in the short term, it doesn't look to me like we're going to see much of a change of power here, but it does open up an opportunity, certainly in the Senate election in a couple of years. We have an opportunity in 2026 in the Senate with Tina Smith giving up her spot. So We'll see. It might be. It might have to be the long game, unfortunately, for Minnesota Republicans there. Hey, have you noticed that there are a lot of Vision Fords and Vision Lincolns you're seeing driving around in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo area? Well, one of them is mine. You'll get that first car feel all over again because they make buying a car easy. 15 minutes to do the paperwork, and they'll come to you for the sale and the service. They have 18 service drivers to get you to your car or your car to you for those oil changes and service visits when they come up. Buy your Ford from Ward. Drive with Vision. Vision Ford Lincoln and Wahpeton online at drivewithvision.com. Drivewithvision.com. Coming up momentarily, Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, North Dakota State University political science professor, will be joining us here on the program. We're going to talk about what happened in Venezuela and what it means. Dr. Ambrosio has been a regular guest on my show over the years, and I think a really good voice who can break it all down in objective terms, which I like. I don't like cheerleading when it comes to telling me what's happening, and then we can all figure about what's happening here. So we're going to talk to Dr. Ambrosio about that here in just a moment, and I'm going to do a little producing on the fly. Addison, Dr. Ambrosio says that his phone has given him a little bit of trouble. He's going to restart his phone, and we'll call in just a minute. So that's why we've not heard from him yet. A couple of other pieces of news today. What a newsy Monday. Boy, I'll call it the first serious Monday of the new year. And I guess it is the first Monday of the new year, first serious business day of the new year as well. Julie Fedorchuk has announced that she will run again for Congress, and so it will be her. The incumbent, she will be very difficult to beat. Don't think she's made any missteps along the way and has represented the state fairly well, I think, in the United States Congress. She will be contested by Alex Balazs in the primary as well, and I think Alex will be a very strong candidate. So they'll have a good race, I believe, but certainly the advantage to the incumbent there. But Julie Fedorchuk will run, and if she wins the primary, she'll win the general. It's kind of weird that way in North Dakota, but that's how things roll around here. And then Denise Kolpak also has confirmed what many of us have suspected, that she would run for mayor in the city of Fargo coming up here in this election cycle. We got a June election for city offices here. She is a current city commissioner and the deputy mayor. And a lot of us have thought for a while that when Tim Mahoney leaves, which he will, he's termed out at this point of his office there, that Denise Kolpak would, in fact, throw her hat in for that ring. So I believe that she's the first candidate to announce. Someone correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I don't think anybody else has announced a run there. So we'll see what happens. There will be somebody that will get into that race. We'll see who. I think Denise will be hard to beat. She's kind of like an Amy Klobuchar. I think certainly left of center, which plays well in downtown Fargo, certainly, but in the city as a whole. But I think that she can be challenged by someone that comes in with kind of more of a hardline fiscal hawk sort of a mentality and talking about we need to make tough decisions more often. I think that could be a very interesting race. So we'll see what happens here. I want to welcome to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, professor of political science at North Dakota State University. Dr. Ambrosio, thank you for joining me today. Hope you had great holidays. We know that everything is really busy. First big day back on a Monday here, the new year. So thank you for joining us today.
I'm very glad to be here.
Let me just
kind of. Well.
Yeah, thank you very much. So I'll just throw you the big question. What happened in Venezuela? Good thing, bad thing, or remains to be seen?
Well, it remains to be seen, like everything else. Sometimes be careful what you wish for. As the saying goes, we'll see. We'll see what happens here. Of course, this, your listeners, I'm sure, know what happened, that there was this U.S. raid into Venezuela. That tensions have been growing now for months during the second Trump term, growing with Venezuela. But we launched this raid, which clearly had both inside information, probably inside support, to snatch the president and his wife in the middle of the night or the middle of the morning and bring them back to the United States to stand trial. It's kind of an unprecedented move. When we the George H.W. Bush administration, we had snatched Manuel Noriega, but that had been a situation in which we invaded the country. with tens of thousands of troops. This was kind of this, oh, dark 30, go in, grab them, bring them out. Now we'll have to see what happens. This is not regime change per se. The leader is gone, but the vice president is saying she's not going anywhere. And this is kind of his handpicked vice president. So we'll have to see how this develops. What we saw, because this was Saturday morning, that we all heard about this on Sunday, Secretary of State Rubio did the rounds on TV and was talking about, we're going to increase pressure on Venezuela to try to affect a transition to democracy. And we'll see how that develops. Again, we're, 48 hours or so, or, a little bit longer than that, into this. So, yeah, it's a pretty unprecedented move. But what's interesting in particular about it is that it came just weeks after the Trump administration released its updated national security strategy, which I recommend all your listeners read. I mean, it's a long document. It's actually written much more less kind of high-minded in terms of like kind of academic, but rather is actually pretty accessible to everyone. And it lays out essentially, here's the Trump corollary to the Monroe Doctrine. Basically, we're going old school with the Monroe Doctrine. This is our hemisphere. Everyone's got to get out of it that we don't want. And that sound Maduro heard was the Monroe Doctrine landing on his roof. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So the markets don't appear to be spooked by this. The Dow is up 700 points, NASDAQ up 220. Apparently seeing little risk to the market from what's happening there, and a potential boost in oil supply, bringing prices down, potentially being a good thing for the economy. So the traders seem to like it today. And oil prices are basically unchanged, which I think is interesting. I thought we would see a drop in those prices as well. Maybe as the day goes on, we'll see a little bit more of that. How hard will it be? The Trump administration says we're going to basically kind of run the government over there, or kind of basically keep things going until they can sort of prop up their own people over there. And yet the vice president over there has been sort of sworn in to lead the country. So how hard is it going to be to do what Donald Trump says he wants to do?
Well, I think, President Trump sometimes, kind of shoots off the cuff in terms of his language, and we're not running the country. I don't think that's going to happen. Secretary of State Rubio kind of came out and said, kind of walked that back, obviously, but also was kind of like, we're going to put increased pressure on the government. So one of the reasons why we didn't see oil prices drop immediately is that we're going to be using oil as a weapon, oil exports, essentially stopping those from Venezuela. So we're not going to see, at least in the short term, a whole lot of oil on the marketplace, even if the government fell. The Chavinista government has, done such a bad job at managing things that their oil export system is actually still in real problem, or it has real problems anyway. So it would take time to get that fully online. But yeah, I mean, I'm not, it's the fact that we didn't actually like land troops there, that we're not actually trying to run the country, despite what President Trump said, is probably one reason why we're seeing kind of the market being like, well, this happened, and let's see what develops later.
What's the big thing to watch now, do you think, Dr. Ambrosio, as we keep an eye on what happens in Venezuela? What's the thing that you're watching for to determine how all this is going to go?
I think that the biggest thing to watch is going to be how the military responds. Whether or not the military decides, okay, it's time for a change, we're going to help facilitate a transition, which we've seen in many cases throughout the world, in which the military kind of steps in an authoritarian situation, maybe takes power shortly for themselves, and then one hopes, and in some cases has happened, goes back to the barracks. So that may be the situation. That's kind of what I'm looking for, is how the military reacts.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that's kept the regime in power is that Maduro, which is now his vice president, hasn't had to rely as much on the Venezuelan military as you'd think, but rather de facto Cuban mercenaries for regime security.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and of course, what's going to happen now with cutting off oil is that the exports from Venezuela to Cuba are going to be cut off, which is going to hurt the Cuban government coming forward.
Interesting. That's a big domino to fall. Dr. Ambrosio, thank you for the time. Wish we had more, but great stuff, great insight as always. We appreciate your time, sir. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. All right. Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, North Dakota State University. All right, when we come back, got a bunch of text messages that have come in. Want to make sure we get your voices too. Give us a call, 701-271-1100. Be right back. All right, in all the hoopla of first day in the morning time slot, I just realized we've not yet done our giveaway call. So Todd Burton of Fargo, you are on the clock, 11 minutes. And even though the show will be ending a couple minutes before that, Addison will be watching the phone. So you've got 11 minutes here. So you've got, let's see, well, right until 11 o'clock straight up, basically, is what we're doing here. And if you give us a call, 701-271-1100, if you know Todd, do a brother a solid and get a hold of him and say, hey, 271-1100, get yourself qualified. Todd, you will be in the drawing, the final giveaway party at Kingpin's coming up here in a few weeks on February 2nd. For the Valentine's Day in Vegas giveaway presented by All Sager Meats. What a trip this is going to be. Two tickets to Vegas, a hotel stay, two tickets to see the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere on Valentine's Day. How great is that? And $500 in cash. So do a little gambling, do a little spending, get the good bottle of wine, whatever you want to do there. So Todd Burton of Fargo, give us a call. Coming up here in a few minutes, Tim Walz is expected to hold a press conference just after 11, where he will talk more about his decision to step away from the reelection race. He's not resigning as governor, which a lot of us would like to see happen, but he is not going to be running for another term in Minnesota. The rumor is Amy Klobuchar is going to resign from the U.S. Senate and take his spot on the Democrat side running for governor. In the city of Fargo tonight, the city commission is going to vote on dissolving three community commissions, the Human Rights Commission, Arts and Culture Commission, and Native American Commission. As I've said many times on my show, we love human rights, we love arts and culture, we love the Native American community in our area, but we have so many bloated programs and so many things that have been added to the city government that does take some time and some expense. And we can be a very good city even without. So all of those things. All right, 701-271-1100 if you want to sneak in one last shout here for the program today. Let's go to the text line. I've had a bunch of texts that have come in today and haven't got to many of them yet. So let's do that. Steve, I haven't bought Citgo gas in decades. In December, a Delaware judge ordered Citgo get sold, so it was no longer a Venezuelan-controlled oil company. I wonder if that decision will be overturned in order to help market Venezuelan oil. Good question. Steve, happy to hear your voice and wisdom. But when you state that Amy Klobuchar is going to be hard to beat, perhaps, but the, quote, repeaters in society repeat, and pretty soon it seems like it's a fact instead of opinion. Can you rephrase to recognize possibilities? As always possible, as Trump shows. Many thanks, Barbara. Well, Barbara, you're right. I did say it's a done deal. But I did kind of hedge on that later, saying, oh, I've been wrong before. I just don't believe that Amy Klobuchar can be beat in Minnesota, not by anybody that's in the pile already. Not that they're good candidates. It's just it's my opinion. But I have a fairly strong conviction on that. Steve, I have family in the Minneapolis metro, and they say many there dislike Amy Klobuchar. Okay, well, good. Steve, already the show's just begun on day one, and I'm loving the new format. I can keep it on the flag all day now. Well, thank you. I hope that you were doing that anyway, but yeah, always good to hear when people... We've had a number of people that have said the other. Hey, Steve, just so you know, love you guys and all, but I do miss the shows that are being replaced. I get all that. I do. It was not easy for any of us, but there you go. Steve, 20 years, it took that long to wake up, calling BS here. I don't know what that's about. Maybe Venezuela? Steve, why should Amy Klobuchar be feared to be defeated for the governor's race? She's as guilty as Walz for knowing about the Somali fraud scandal. The swamp needs to be cleaned out of Minnesota. Well, maybe true, But she's a U.S. senator, so she's going to be able to claim that she's a little bulletproof on what's happening in the state of Minnesota. Can she be held to the fire? Absolutely. Should she? Absolutely. Will she? Yes. I heard Kristen Robbins, who is trying to win the Republican nomination, saying, hey, I think what people are pulling out of Minnesota right now is it's time to get the Democrats out and bring the Republicans in. I think that's the best structure, just guilt by association. And if someone's smart, they'll go back to see what she said about AOC's Green New Deal when that came out. Because Amy Klobuchar was, oh, yeah, we got to do the get rid of the cows and the airplanes and all that. Hopefully somebody does that homework as well. Steve Maduro was captured to stand trial for various charges. His trial's in liberal New York, innocent until proven guilty. Do you really think that New York will convict him? And how is it legal for him to own machine guns? Good question. If he gets off, will he not just go back to Venezuela and continue to rule that country? Well, there's a new president there now. Good question on that. So he would have to try to build alliances within the country to kind of get his old job back. I'm sure the Trump administration is going to do everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen. Do you think New York will convict him? Good question. But a lot of things are happening that I thought wouldn't happen. Donald Trump is in office. Tim Walz says, I'm not going to be the next governor. We've got a lot of things that have happened that I just weren't sure would happen, would be happening before. So here we go. So, all right, Todd Burton has called in. Good job, Todd. And you are now in the drawing. Way to go. Running short on time. Otherwise, we would visit with Todd. So good job, young man. We'll see you at the party. Go to am1100theflag.com if you have not registered yet. All right, that's going to do it for the maiden voyage of the Steve Alstrom Show Morning Edition. Scott Hannon and the What's on Your Mind program coming up next here on WZFG, The Flag, and KTGO, The Flag. Have a great day, my friend, and keep on flying that flag.